Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, well, hopefully we're going to have a nice, lively little workshop here. We have a great panel. At the end, we have Bill Fries, who is the voice for the Atlanta Roundup, and he's also our Area 16 Communications Chairperson. We have Cindy Wallace, who is from District 16D, and she's also the a web administrator for the GwinnettAA.org website. We have Mark Just, who is DCM for District 13E, and he's been very involved in the past couple years with the discussion around anonymity in the information age, especially regarding around social media. And we have Tom Hoban, our delegate for Area 16. And again, he's been very involved with the discussion around anonymity in the information age for the past couple years. There is a just to mention, there is a survey that was done in 2010 that is up on the aageorgia.org site that goes through several questions about social about anonymity on the social media websites. And it's a great survey. We're going to reference it. I think some of people are going to reference it here today. But it's a great survey to go through, and it's all compiled. It has everybody, the comments, and it's all anonymous. There's nobody's names who says what, but it's interesting to see the answers that came out. And of course, my name is Tom Bass. I'm an alcoholic, and I am the Area 16 web administrator for the aageorgia.org site. So with that, before I sit down, basically what we're going to talk about this today, and we want y'all to ask questions. We've got two people. We have Chris, who has a wireless mic, and we have Adam, who has a wireless mic. And this is being recorded, so when they come to you, when you want to ask a question, they come up to you, make sure you're talking right into the microphone so far in front of your face. They can hold it for you, or you can hold it yourself. Doesn't matter. We will be talking about, in general, all of us are going to share on what anonymity is to us, what that encompasses for us. Then we're going to talk about what does anonymity mean in the information age regarding different areas such as AA websites, online meetings, speaker talks and recordings, emails, and then, of course, social media. And we're going to talk about who is responsible for our anonymity and what should be done to hold that responsible, to ensure that AA members hold that responsibility. Kind of tripping over my tongue there. So we will go ahead and start, and we're just going to talk from the table. We've got a wireless mic. We're going to pass back and forth. It's very informal. While we're talking, if you have a question, or just let us know, because we want this to be interactive, okay?
My name is Bill. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here, and I'm glad to see you all out there. This is a very, very important subject for me, and the longer I stay sober, the more important it gets. As grandchildren appear, my thoughts about anonymity have changed immensely. And I looked this morning. I didn't do it. My wife Pat looked up the word Google, and anonymity actually comes from a Greek word, anonymia, which means without a name or namelessness. And for me, that kind of describes my original thoughts about anonymity when I first got sober. I remember my sponsor, my father was a physician, and he helped a lot of people, and I admired him greatly. I didn't get along with him very well, but I admired him, and I never told him that either, but I did. And Jim said to me, when I was talking about living sober. And he said, Bill, let me tell you something. If you just stay sober in this deal and work these steps, you're going to help a whole lot more people than your dad ever thought about helping. But there's two differences. You don't get paid for it, and you can't tell anybody. And so that was my original view of anonymity. And then I was on the answering service for a while, and I talked to this lady in Douglasville that said, ask me where the meetings were in Lawrenceville. And I said, why? And she said, well, I want to go to meetings in Lawrenceville instead of Douglasville because I don't want anybody to know. And I thought about that for a minute. That got into my heart, you know. So that's how it all started. But now it's evolved into the fact that I love my grandchildren more than anything in this world. And I want this thing to be exactly like it is in that blue book. And I want them to have every opportunity to come in here if they need it. And I don't want my involvement in the program to affect them in any way. And it's not just my grandchildren, it's my friends and everybody that I know. I negatively affected people all my life. And I'm trying to start a new way of living to not to do that anymore. So that's kind of my feeling. I hope that's okay. Anyway, thanks.
I'm Cindy, I'm an alcoholic. And when I was preparing for this and doing some reading, I guess kind of the main thing that I was thinking about around anonymity was, what a privilege that it is to be sober, and that our anonymity itself is a privilege, and that it's really up to each individual to be able to decide when and where he or she breaks their anonymity. But it's important to give really careful consideration before I decide to do that. And I need to look at my own motives, particularly am I placing personalities before principles? Is my ego involved? My desire for prestige or attention? And the thing that kept resonating with me is that I have to realize that when I choose to break my anonymity, that I have a responsibility after that, well, even before that, to act in principle. Because once I break my anonymity, my actions not only reflect on me personally, but they're going to reflect on AA as a whole. So if, my behavior is not up to par, then that gives outsiders or, other people who might be in need of this program someday to judge us in a negative way. So that was kind of my thoughts.
My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. And anonymity for me has changed over the last 7 years. My sobriety date is July the 5th, 2005. And when I came in here, I was excited, finally, that I had accomplished something and had stuck with it, even though it was only a year. And I wanted to let everybody know, because everybody already knew how much of a screw-up I was. So, I needed to let them know, that I was doing better. Putting my name with Alcoholics Anonymous, if I had relapsed, and I had relapsed before, that says, well, this may not work for... He didn't get in. He's still struggling, still drinking, just crazy. Maybe this AA thing, really is just, a crackpot. And what I've learned is that I'm a sober individual. I just happened to find Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is what has helped me stay sober. The big book talks about this not being the only way. This is just a way. So, By the grace of my higher power, I found Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was able to be helped to be a different person. I guess that's it for now. I'm thinking a whole bunch of stuff that I'll talk about later, so thanks.
I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Tom. I guess I want to say that to me, there isn't a stronger worded tradition than Tradition 11 when it says we need always. I don't think it's too hard to understand what always is there. And I say that half jokingly because some traditions are a little black and white, I think, or a little gray at times, and but certainly not this one. And I know for me, one of the things I was asking Mark with the microphone down, or Tom with the microphone down, was the social media aspect, but I'm in the all share mode right now. So I guess what I'll say, and I wasn't really prepared for that, that's my bad. I'll read a letter from Bill along the lines of what I said with Tradition 11 being the strongest worded tradition. And this was in Bill's last talk. I don't know why I'm getting the feedback. Must be my charm. This was Bill's last talk, and then I'll pass the microphone around again. In part, he says, if I were asked which of these blessings, I don't know what to do about it. If I were asked which of these blessings I felt was most responsible for our growth as a fellowship and most vital to our continuity, I would say the concept of anonymity. Anonymity has two attributes essential to our individual and collective survival, the spiritual and the practical. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or not, Lee. Yeah, it kind of stops and goes. I don't know. On a spiritual level, anonymity demands the greatest discipline of which we are capable. On the practical level, anonymity has brought protection for the newcomer, respect and support of the world outside, and security from those of us who would use AA for sick and selfish purposes. AAs must and will continue to change with the passing years. We cannot, nor should we, turn back the clock. However, I deeply believe that the principle of anonymity must remain our primary and enduring safeguard. As long as we accept our sobriety and our traditional spirit of anonymity, we will continue to receive God's grace. And one of the reasons I read that is this was Bill's last talk. Now, if I'm Bill Wilson, and the last thing I want to say to this unbelievable society and fellowship that's grown up in front of me that I helped start, I don't know that I would be talking about anonymity if I was Bill. But he did. I mean, that's how important he felt it was for us. And I know we have some side topics, aspects of anonymity, but in general, I guess that would be my opening comments, that it is the strongest worded tradition, and Bill felt so strongly about it, it was the last thing he spoke about.
My name's Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. And anonymity, when I'm looking at something or researching or trying to prepare or want to learn about something in Alcoholics Anonymous, I go directly to our literature, whatever it may be, whether it's A Comes of Age, the Big Book, the 12 and 12. I try to pull from the literature rather than my own head. Because what's in my own head is somewhat distorted most of the time. What I found is that a running theme that the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. And it's a personal sacrifice that I make as a recovering alcoholic. Bill W., is like Tom read in the letter, he talks extensively about anonymity in several letters that he wrote for the Grapevine in the late 40s, preparing for the traditions, hopefully to have the traditions taken on at the conference in 19 at the General Service Conference in 1950, which they were. You know, he talks about in one of his letters, says that the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice, and that the spiritual that anonymity has come to stand for prudence and self-effacement. And self-effacement is the placing or keeping of oneself in the background. And for me, I'm kind of, I've read this in several different articles and I've heard it in several different speakers. You know, there are no AA big shots. And that's what anonymity is about. We're not using AA to better ourselves. I'm not using AA to better myself in the sense of at the level of prestige or money or notoriety. AA is here for me to use and practice as a way of life and to help other people who may need it. Now, how do they find out that I'm in AA? It's because I decide to break my own anonymity. But traditional 11 clearly states, and Bill wrote, these are Bill's own words in a 1948 Grapevine article. He says, traditional 11 asks in our public relations that we be alert against sensationalism, and it declares there is never need to praise ourselves. Personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film is urgently required, thus avoiding the pitfall of vanity and the temptation through broken anonymity to link AA to other causes. You know, in the beginning, anonymity was important. In the very beginning, because there was such a stigma against alcoholism, there, you know, nobody wanted to be known as the alcoholic, and there was and then when it started to become well known, Alcoholics Anonymous started to become well known through publications and through growth. Then we had a lot of anonymity breakers, and Bill talks about this in the General Service. Our General Service Manual, there's an article that he talks about at the end in Appendix, I think it's Appendix B, and he talks about it in AA Comes of Age, where there were a lot of people that were using the AA name to better themselves personally, to get that prestige. And they actually had to write letters at a certain point to these anonymity, they called them anonymity breakers, a nice letter saying, you know, this, we prefer that you not use your name in conjunction with AA, your last name, or the use of AA to better your own agenda. And through the years, they were able to, as he puts it, squash down a lot of anonymity breakers. Now, they're still out there. And with the age of the Internet now upon us, it's opened up a whole new realm of breaking anonymity. For me, and we're going to talk about the different areas a little bit more further, but in the Understanding Anonymity pamphlet, it clearly states that AA members may speak as AA members only if their names or faces are not revealed. They speak not for AA, but as individual members. And that's very important for me to remember, that when I'm speaking as an AA member, if I'm in a group like this, it's all right for me to say I'm Tom Bass, is what the literature tells me. It says clearly that... that when speaking, AA members may disclose their identity and speak as recovered alcoholics, giving radio, TV, and internet interviews without violating the traditions, so long as their AA membership is not revealed. So, you can, you know, I can talk about the fact that I'm in a recovery program without saying that I'm a member of AA. And there's and I know that when I was first getting sober, if somebody said to me, I'm recovering, well, you're an AA. Automatically, you're an AA. I assume they're an AA. There are a lot of people that are in recovery programs throughout the world that aren't in AA. There are a lot of people that got sober through other areas. For me, it took AA. So when I say I'm in a recovery program, it's that person's assumption that I'm an AA. It's not until I say that I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it clearly states in our tradition that we not do that at the level of press, radio, and film, and that includes internet and television. So that's what we wanted to talk about as far as in general about anonymity. If there's any questions regarding what we've talked about before we move on, I encourage y'all to ask, or if there's any comments, we've got a couple minutes before we move on, and we're going to talk about, then each one of us are going to talk about different areas of the information age and how anonymity may apply to that specific area. But are there any questions or any comments that people would like to throw out? Chris, over here. And please speak in front of the microphone so it can be...
I'm Joanna. I'm an alcoholic.
Aisha.
Recently, I was in a job search. I was looking for a job, and I had gotten, because my settings on my Facebook page weren't blocked, I've got my wall blocked, and I thought I had everything blocked. Someone had put me in a recovery group. And it was an anonymous group, and, you know, no one could see it on my Facebook page and this, that, and the other. But because I was in a looking for a job, I thought I had blocked everything. And I finally was able to figure out how to get out of that group. And this is a lady that has a good sobriety, but I had various other people say to me that they didn't like the fact that they just appointed them in this group. And so I explained to some other people, I couldn't tell them how I did it, but I brought them over to my house and moved around everywhere to figure out how to do it to get them out of the group. Because when I was searching for a job, at the job network meetings, directors of human resources specifically said, if you're on Facebook, get off. If not, block everything. You know, I do have a LinkedIn profile and things like that. But I felt like it was... She should have asked me. You know, she has my personal email address, and I would have preferred that she ask me, would you like to be a member of this group, and I can put you in the group.
Real quick, when you're talking at the microphone, try to hold it a little bit away from your mouth so there's not...
Do you want to respond to that? I deactivated my Facebook account last year. And every time I hear about something like this, I'm thankful that I did. It's on our agenda to talk a little bit more. I think Mark and I are scheduled to talk a little bit about social media, and I'm certainly going to talk about Facebook. I guess Mark is too. But I would like to say that it's our responsibility and not the other person's, and that goes for the media as well. It's not their job to protect our anonymity. It's our job to ensure that they do. And I guess I'll stop there because we'll talk about it some more later on.
I'm Nick Garrison. I'm an alcoholic. Question comes up, and I haven't been sober this time very long, but... The question of where did it come from that we don't use our full names? I mean, I understand outside protecting our anonymity, but we all know inside who we are, and if we all honor that we're protecting our anonymity inside, then the use of our last name shouldn't become an issue. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, and I know we all need to respect it, but where does that come from?
One thing I've always been told, and then if one of y'all want to say something that's coming up, is we're Alcoholics Anonymous, but we're not anonymous with each other, okay? We're anonymous at the level of press, radio, and film, okay? If I'm in a meeting and they announce that Joe B. ended up in the hospital and he needs visitors, he needs people to go up to a meeting, take a meeting to him. When I go to the hospital, if I say I'm here to see Joe B., they're going to look at me like, Joe B. what? You know? So we're not anonymous with each other. This, and that's the difference. We're you know, there's a, that's all I'll say. I don't know if anybody else.
I guess I don't need to keep saying that I'm an alcoholic anymore. Okay. Right? Something that one of my sponsors, because this came up a lot, why am I just Mark J? What was explained to me basically is that over time it's just been over exaggerated. You know, it started off as for the outside being, I'm Mark J. If I was going to say that I was an alcoholic. Now it's the confusion for me had gotten to the point where, if I heard somebody say, Mark Jess, would you like to share? And the whole room goes, oh my God, he used his last name. It's the end of the world. And I was like, so what is, why does that happen? And it was really just a lack of education. I didn't know any better. Being of service has, my brain is still slowly being put together. And the more I'm of service, the more it just kind of melts apart again because there's so much information that I thought I knew. We say the longer we're here, the less we know. I feel like the less I know, but luckily I've got, people to help with that. But, it's kind of like what Tom was saying, if I need help, then, y'all need to know that my name is Mark Jest. My family knows that my name is Mark Jest, but, as long as, AA is not before or after my name, then I have a full name. Otherwise, I don't.
Yeah, I wanted to tag a little bit, too. When I was new, I went to, similar story, I went to try and find Railroad Bob in the hospital, and it was pretty hard to find Railroad. And once I found him, I said, hey, what's your last name, dude, And I was able to go see Bob Parmley in the hospital and years after that. But the other side of that coin is I believe that I have the right to remain anonymous within these rooms if I want to. And I think that's just as important that, of course, Dr. Bob was the one that talked about let's not be too anonymous within the fellowship. But I still have that right. And I've seen people kind of be upset when I won't use my last name. And I don't care to. I don't have a dog in that fight. But I do agree strongly that people in these rooms still have a right to remain anonymous if they want to be.
My name is Linda. I'm an alcoholic. I keep my name anonymous within the AA program as a result of my, at the time he was 16, asked me not, my son asked me not to use my last name. And for his anonymity, I did that. I don't have a problem breaking my anonymity within the walls of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do have a problem doing that outside of the program. But for my son's sake, I've decided not to use my last name. And I will do that. I will use my last name if I'm giving my phone number to Mark. But if I'm speaking or talking, I don't say what my last name is for my son's sake. And that was the reason why I chose to do that.
Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm a grateful recovering member of Al-Anon. Al-Anon has a little slightly twist on the 11th tradition. Our public relations policy is based on attraction. And at the end, we need maintains personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. And we need guard with special care the anonymity of all AA members. And so Al-Anons have a special onus on us not to have our name associated with Al-Anon. And I had a brother who was having troubles with that because he was afraid of 12-stepping some people. And where he, one thing that Al-Anons can recognize is other unrecovered Al-Anons real easily. And he was having problem 12-stepping and trying to tell them that they are, they need to come to a meeting. And he says, well, if I tell them I'm Al-Anon, they'll think my wife's an alcoholic. And I says, well, not necessarily. You could be qualified by parents, by relatives, by other friends. You don't have to think that they're going to automatically assume that your wife is the alcoholic. But it is still a very big concern of Al-Anon's to maintain our own anonymity too, and to make sure that we are not breaking somebody else's anonymity. Thank you.
Helen, did you have?
Thank you. My name's Helen. Things have changed a little bit for me in the way we handle our last names or don't say them. When we first, when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, we used last initials. I just loved that. It was so different to say, my name is Helen R. and I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know any history, any good reason, anything that went out of what we do. When we get up from, we just drop the last initial. We say Tom, Bill. And now and then I'm tempted to go back to the good old days and say, my name's Helen R. and I'm an alcoholic. But I think it's too late. I don't think it'll catch on anymore. I called a reporter who wrote an article in the Atlanta Journal, and he used the person's last name, and I don't know how it happened because he did not appreciate my information I was trying to give him over the phone. So we didn't get very far with questions. But since the AA member may or may not allow him to use his last name, I said, would you like to find out some things about Alcoholics Anonymous? Could I help you with knowing, because if he's a reporter, he could do it again and again. And if the AA member didn't do it, maybe he would. Maybe the AA member said, don't use my last name. See, I couldn't get very far with him because that was his baby, and the fact I questioned it, I think, is he wasn't long on the phone with me. And he said, no, he did not need any information about the tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, but sometimes I don't feel I failed when I try and communicate and talk about traditions with an AA member or a non-AA member, because I think we plant a seed. We can't insist, we can't force. Tradition is a tradition. And most of us don't like to be spoken to. I don't. I don't like to get letters from General Service Office. And so most of us, you know, sort of think to be part of, here's what we do. And it takes a little while to learn that. But I'm going to take a little more time and tell you a story. I sponsored someone who's been in AA a long time, 25, 30 years. And I happened to be standing in a meeting, two of us, talking to this lady who had the same first name as my sponsee. Same first name. A little bit unusual, the name was. And she said, oh, was that? And she used her last name. She was in AA. She was in an AA meeting. And I looked at the girl with me and I went, you know. But by all that us, she knew that she was. And it so happened she grew up next door to my sponsee. And her mother went to the same church as my sponsee. And my sponsee was very, very careful with her anonymity in her church. And when I told her this, she was so accidental. I thought she didn't stop talking to me because she enjoyed us meeting and chewing me out every single time. And so I know she wanted to keep meeting with me anyway. And then the daughter drank again. And she had told her mother that her old neighbor and her churchgoer was in AA, because she called my sponsee. And boy, that gave her more ammunition. She called me and said, "See there, I told you." And I thought, all this muss and fuss about, but if you're that careful in church or in business, it's what someone else said, we need to honor that. And I tried to do that, but this was so accidental, I didn't take responsibility for it. So I was nice and listened to her. But has that ever happened to any of you? Have you ever, you know, what have you said when somebody says, "Oh, they're in the fellowship too, aren't they?"
I had not to that extent, but I had that situation happen to me with a new person, and time took care of the wounds. You know, I think that what's funny is when I look at you, Helen. I don't know anybody doesn't know Helen R. You know, It just changes so much. I don't know how to put it. My new favorite saying is, being an alcoholic is not a bad deal as long as you're not drinking. You know, it gets real touchy when you're drinking, and that kind of makes me wear it like a loose garment. But that does not excuse me. That's what I was trying to say before about my grandchildren. I have got to be very careful because that is their right and not mine. And I think that's the whole deal is it public or private? You know, am I dealing with the public or am I dealing with private? And that's where I have to, you know, be careful.
I usually just tell people that we go to the same church. You know, there's plenty of meetings that I go to that are in church, and, you know, somebody asks, "Oh, well, you know, do you know Helen?" "Oh, yeah, we go to the same church." "Which one?" "St. Mark's." "St. Mark's, Canon United Methodist Church." I mean, every meeting, there's meetings and churches all over the place. Pick a church, name it. Nobody has ever questioned me, you know. "Oh, well, how long have y'all?" I mean, the questions stop. After, you know, if I can name a church, it stops.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on down to talking about different. One more question.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm an alcoholic. As a newcomer, anonymity has been an issue for me. I guess. Parts of it I understand, and then parts of it I really, really don't understand. I know on Thursday, for anybody that was here, Bill Roop, he asked me to do the traditions. Before I got home, I had like 6 calls of people that weren't even here that said, "How did you get up there?" Was that my anonymity being broken? Someone from here said something. Is that anonymity being broken? Yeah. I have a friend in the fellowship as well. We were out, and she came across a gentleman that she knew. Well, he found me attractive and inquired about me. And before I knew it, she said, "Oh, we go to AA together." Was that my anonymity being broken? Wow. So I'm like really confused here. I know one of the requirements for AA is a desire to stop drinking. Maybe one of the requirements needs to be, really practicing anonymity. I think we just, we fall at the wayside with that so bad. And as a newcomer, I've been affected by that time and time. I'm not done. Time and time and time again. But I haven't had a desire to drink over it. But it is an issue. It's a bad issue. I was out at a dance once, and they were just taking pictures. And somebody said, oh, let me take a picture of you. And I was like, no, thank you. I don't know where that picture is going to be. Is that breaking my anonymity? I mean, if she puts it on Facebook?
If there's something about AA in the background, or she titles the picture, this is at the AA.
Oh, I got
this
it.
Is at the AA Roundup dance yeah. night, and, okay. you know, that would be breaking. But if it's just a picture up
picture.
On that yeah. is not referenced to Alcoholics Anonymous, mm-hmm. then, you know, that's it's not that's not officially breaking your anonymity. What I want to say to you is there's a pamphlet called Understanding Anonymity.
Okay.
If you've ever, have you read this?
I have not.
This is a great pamphlet to get. Okay. It really breaks down a lot of the stuff we're talking about that Bill wrote about when they were when he was writing the Tradition 11 and Tradition 12, and it's a great tool to use. I mean, the pamphlets we have out there, the resources can answer. Like I said, when I go to learn something, I go to our literature, and that includes the pamphlets, and this will really help you. And we're going to talk about who's responsible for, you know, maintaining our anonymity, and that, you know, and that'll come later, and you'll see what can be done in those situations. Before we get into other questions, because we want to get into the areas, this is supposed to be about the information age, and Cindy's going to talk a little bit about AA websites in general. I'm going to talk a little bit about online meetings, AA online meetings. Bill's going to address recordings of speaker talks. And then emails, and then Tom and Mark are going to talk about social media. So let's go ahead and let us all talk what we're going to say, and then after that we can have questions about those different areas, whatever it comes into. So I'm going to pass the mic to Cindy.
One of the guiding resources regarding websites is a GSO service piece entitled Frequently Asked Questions About AA Sites. And question number 7 is, what about anonymity? And the answer that is given is that we observe all AA's principles and traditions on our websites. As anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, we practice anonymity on AA websites at all times. An AA website is a public medium which has the potential for reaching the broadest possible audience and therefore requires the same safeguards that we use at the level of press, radio, and films. And so some of these safeguards, and most of this information that I've gotten comes directly out of AA Guidelines for the Internet that's published by GSO. And first, an informed group conscience structure is created to decide the contents, policies, and procedures for the site. For Gwinnett AA, which is the site that I'm most familiar with, that group conscience is a joint PICPC committee formed from District 16 C and D. And in our mission statement, we specifically state that we will avoid publishing emails or phone numbers that could identify a member. And unless a site is password protected and for members only, the site is considered a public medium. And our state site, aageorgia.org, contains some information that's private and requires a password to gain entrance. For example, the July-August issue of The Message, which contains service resumes for Area 16 Secretary and Treasurer, in which their full names and addresses are published, requires a password. And this password is fairly wide known throughout the fellowship. If you go to Macon or to the cluster forums, you know, you're informed of what that password is. But there are other passwords that are made available only to people holding specific service positions. And at Gwinnett AA, following the GSO guidelines, it's the website committee that determines who will be given access to private information and how. and how usernames and passwords will be communicated, stored, and maintained. And at one point, we had decided that it would be a really good idea to use one of the pages of our website, password protected, to keep a directory of names of individuals who had volunteered to speak at DUI schools. And we agreed that only the webmaster and the two district chairpersons would have access to the password. But many people on the committee didn't understand why the entire committee didn't have access to the information. And after numerous requests for passwords, we decided that it was better to remove the content entirely than to risk a possible anonymity break. And we also avoided having angry and hurt committee members as well, which was good. GSO also recommends that flyers containing personal contact information not be uploaded to AA websites since they can be accessed by the general public. And I also found interesting that the guidelines even cautioned giving out flyers. You know, we pass out flyers at meetings all the time that have first names and last initials and phone numbers on them. But the guidance pointed out that, you know, it's so easy now with the internet to search somebody's phone number and find out a lot more personal information about them. And so they even cautioned in passing out flyers at meetings. And one of the final things that we do, which is also advice from GSO, is that we only link to approved AA websites, such as GSO, Grapevine, Central Office, AA Georgia. And at Gwinnett AA, we don't link to any other sites, such as group sites or roundups, and that's because we can't be certain that they're following their traditions and the GSO guidelines, and we don't know where it goes after that. So that's pretty much it for the websites.
And I'm going to address online meetings. There are a lot of AA meetings online. They come in several forms. They're in chat rooms and email groups. There's groups that communicate by emails, and there's groups that communicate on a chat room. There's an actual online AA intergroup also, which was formed after the 1995 General Conference in San Diego. And right after the year 2000, there was about 150 online AA groups covering about 6,000 members. Most email and chat groups are closed groups. Most people cannot just subscribe or join or drop in without affirming their adherence to the third tradition. There's actually monitors on these AA online meetings that affirm that you are affirming the third tradition to become a member of that online group. Online groups serve a great purpose. There's a Grapevine that was published, it's March of this year, called Plugged In. And there are several stories in here about people who got sober through online meetings and through emails. And there's even a story in here of a man who has a sponsor that he's never met, but he's worked the entire steps with him through the online meeting group and through emails. But it's been done anonymously at the public level. It's all been done through either a protected private online group or through their own personal emails. This is a great issue if you want to learn more about online meetings and what happens on the internet between AAers. Focus that happened was that this came about was in 1990 for the 1995 convention, General Conference Convention. The Living Cyber Committee got together to host a hospitality room. And after that, they decided that they would then form the online intergroup of Alcoholics Anonymous. And OIAA is what it's called. You can go to www.aa-intergroup.org. And it has a directory and a listing of all online AA meetings. And their intergroup, their purpose is very similar to an intergroup office for an area, but they encompassed all of Canada and the U.S. Now, they've not been incorporated into our service structure per se, but all these meetings are monitored, and the meetings that go up there, this intergroup disseminates the information, and it also helps people find these meetings and teaches them how to join these meetings. From my own personal experience, I have an aunt who is in our program, and she has MS and doesn't leave the house for large parts of the year. She lives in Florida, and when it's hot, during the hot part of the year, which is mostly all year in Florida, it's hard for her to get to meetings. And she has spent a lot of her recovery, she's 20-something years sober, online and hosted online meetings. And one of the oldest online meetings is called the Lamplighters, which is more of an email. It's not a chat room. There are no video Skype online AA meetings where you visually see the other member. If you want a face-to-face meeting, you go to a live AA meeting for face-to-face. And the online intergroup encourages people to get involved in their district or their area or their local intergroup office and go to face-to-face meetings. But these online meetings do serve an important purpose. The principal responsibilities of the online intergroup are to promote the AA unity of online AA groups in accordance with the first tradition, to use the internet to carry the message of AA in accordance with tradition 5, and to respond to the needs of AA, of the online AA groups in accordance with tradition 9, and to provide a central source of information about online AA through a website directory and the activities of its members in accordance with tradition 11. So they're following the traditions. It's a great use, and you may have some questions when we get done about this. But I have found through watching my aunt that this has served a purpose that was greatly needed to her because she couldn't get to meetings. And I've seen this be a successful situation without breaking her anonymity and her being able to still participate in this program when she could not get to meetings. So there are ways out there to participate on the internet in an AA, at an AA level, without breaking your anonymity. It's just a matter of education on knowing how to do that. And with that, I'm going to let Bill talk about emails, speaker talks, and recordings, and recording speakers.
Thank you. I'm going to kind of lump these together because the principles are the same. I love what Tom said in the beginning, both Toms, but Tom H. in particular, about the clearness. My sponsor used to say, Bill, read the black part of those words. You know, I have a tendency to interpret, you know. But if you read the 11th tradition, it tells you exactly what we're talking about, you know, and I, deviate or not, that's exactly what it means. So my experience is that, like, when I was a DCM and twice, and the second time I was DCM, there a lot of people had emails, so we were dealing with emails, and I didn't even think about this. So I'm sending out emails to all the GSRs in the district, okay, AA stuff, and somebody called me up and said, if you use BCC, no names show up. I said, what's BCC? You know, and so that's what we did. And how it's evolved now, I'm the chairman of the communications committee for Area 16, and they have gotten all the DCMs have their own email box totally anonymous. You know, it's just District 16, whatever, DCM. And so they have access to that, and we can send them anything, and it doesn't show up, you know? So we're working on it. You know, we're getting better and better all the time. But I think we just have to use common sense. And, you know, I had a lady tell me once, people do or don't do things for two reasons. Either they don't know or they don't care. And we're never going to get the don't cares. You know, my heart, when you said something, I go, holy cow. Holy cow. You know, what's going on here? The only problem is you're popular. And I'm not being funny. It's the truth. You know, if you're visible and people love you, they'll talk about you, drunk or sober, you know, that they do. And I was such a clown when I was in high school that, you know, I just, anything to get my name in lights. And then I got sober and I was trying to hide, you know. And unfortunately, every once in a while, the old guy'd hop out there like he did Friday night and Thursday night, and people say, what's happened to you? Well, that's always been in there, but I'm trying to act differently. You know, I'm trying to act differently. So one of the things I think is very important here too, and they told me this early on and I didn't believe it, but I believe it totally today. AA is self-policing. If we screw up, we don't stay sober. If we don't live the traditions, we'll get drunk. I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it happen too many times. You know, we get eaten up with our own magnificence, and then all of a sudden a drink looks good. You know, so don't give up on us yet. You know, see, but that's so important though. See, because so many, we lose too many. We lose too many. And I think this is this is right at the core of it. You know, it gets more and more important all the time. But there are ways, and if you have, the thing that I love about AA is there's nothing that I experience that's not somewhere in a pamphlet or a guideline or the book or whatever. It's nothing's original, you know. I just think I'm original. But if I'm willing to do what I need to do to find out what's going on, there's an answer. And it blows me away that I can call our office in New York, and I did this with a website, and this is an example of what I'm trying to talk about. When I, in District 16 C&D, two of the DCMs tried to start a website, and it would not get off the ground. They could not, they even went to the point that they financed it themselves, okay? And it wouldn't work, and they couldn't understand why. And so they dropped it. And then it started up again. And boy, in my home group, they heard about it every meeting we had. My God, they're going to do it again. They're going to, because it was wrong. And all of a sudden they put somebody in charge of it that cared enough to do what he needed to do to follow our traditions and guidelines, just the way they're written down. And if you look at that website that Cindy's working on now, that they all started, and then look at aageorgia.org, it may not be the prettiest thing you ever saw, but it works better than any website I've ever been on. It's amazing, you know? So, And you know why? Because we're doing what we need to do to make it right. And we're not violating any of that stuff. So, you know, it's just amazing. I'm so proud to be an alcoholic today and so happy to be here and be a part of this thing because it's amazing, you know. So anyway, I've said way too much. Thank you.
Okay, so Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Tumblr, gosh, I can't think of any of the other ones, but LinkedIn, Friendster, Bebo, yes, all of the above. My MySpace page is still open, but I don't even use it anymore. But Facebook, I have been on Facebook through all of the many, many monthly, weekly, hourly changes that they seem to make to their privacy settings and group settings and people, personal, everything settings. And, now the new way is to, you know, just throw people into groups so you don't even get a choice. Before, you used to get a little notification that came up and said, now, Linda would like to add Mark to a group. You're like, psh, Linda is crazy. I'm not getting in that group. And now it's, you know, you wake up one morning and you've got, you know, 15 little red dots, and it's a stream of posts from the groups. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Then, when I first came in, and I think it was about the time that their survey came out, you know, I was excited about my sobriety. And every chip that I got, I took a picture of and I put it on my Facebook page in a little album. And it had the AA medallion, and it had my number, and it had my name. Because, you know, I was proud, you know. I was proud of myself, and other people were proud of me. And, you know, I wanted the whole world to know that I had finally gotten something right. As my sponsor would say, you know, you're not a complete screw-up. You might have screwed some things up, but you're not a screw-up. He used a more fragrant word, but we're being recorded here. So, yes, this is being taped. And, you know, after the survey came out, I took all of that stuff down because I understood why that was inappropriate. Even though my argument was, well, it's my anonymity, it's my name. But it wasn't my name only because it's stamped with AA. And I had to take that. I didn't have to do anything. I think Bill said, you know, we're self-policing. I made the decision because of the program that I'm working that, you know, those 4 years of medallions and pictures with, you know, the AA symbol in the background from the meeting, I mean, just the whole gambit, all of that need, and that whole entire folder came down. There's a couple of questions from the survey that, you know, really, really stuck out to me. That, you know, I'll just read them. Do you consider social media sites such as Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter to be public or private in nature? And I thought that it was private. If I changed my settings to make it private, that it was private. It said private. The box that I checked said private. But, you know, there is a trail of me somewhere. And if, you know, if somebody wants to look hard enough, you know, they can find me. And they can find all the stuff I did before I got sober. And they can find all the stuff that I've done up until now. It's, you know, it's the internet. It's interconnected. Do the posts that you are... Do you post that you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous on your Facebook or MySpace profile? I used to, and I don't anymore because I learned. Are you a member of or have seen groups on Facebook who represent themselves as AA groups? Yes. And, again, when I realized that, you know, I said something in the group, and that was a hot mess because everybody has their opinions. And I recently, you know, this was it's been a while, and I went and looked through all my groups, and, you know, sure enough, I was still in all of them. You know, two specifically that named themselves as AA or Alcoholics Anonymous, 13,000 members, 6,000 members. And I said, hey, you know, just an FYI, you know, this is, you know, not the 11th tradition. And some people got it and some people attacked. And I had to unfollow that post and then leave the group. Because I was feeling like I was getting defensive. But again, I don't have any power to tell people what to do. Do you think it's okay to state that you're celebrating an AA birthday without actually referring to AA itself on your profile? In the example that they gave, Mark has 4 years today. I do that. This year, I put that I had 2,550 days, and that was it. And the people who knew, and the people who didn't. And, you know, I still do it. And that's that, as far as I'm concerned. Do you think it's okay to post photos taken at AA events? Again, I used to do that, and I don't anymore. And, you know, it's the main argument that I've heard so far is, you know, how are we supposed to reach all the other alcoholics out there, all of those who are sick and suffering and need help, get involved in service? I never thought that, you know, being on, you know, the communications, you know, committees and learning about PICPC, and, you know, treatment and corrections, all of those things are there to, you know, help the alcoholic who actually wants the help, you know, for the alcoholic who is ready to change. And I got that by being of service. I didn't have that before, which is why, you know, my whole entire sobriety was, you know, there for everybody to see. And again, that's it may be down now, but I'm sure that, you know, there's that still, my stamp is still there. So I'll give it to Tom.
Thanks, Mark. What time is it?
I'll be brief, and I'll give it back to Bill and let him do that, since that was under his deal. A couple pieces of literature have been mentioned. One of them was the AA guidelines, and it's actually they're yellow, all of them, if you get them straight from GSO, and they're called the yellow pages, and they're awesome. There's a million topics out. There's probably 20, 30 different guidelines, clubhouses, conventions, the Internet archives, public, I mean, there's a ton of them. They're great. So, but there's definitely one on the Internet, and I see at least three of us had that out here. And then the Understanding Anonymity pamphlet. If you write it and put it on the net, it is there forever. It never goes away. I don't care if you delete it. It's out there somewhere. And unless, if you're unlike me, because I don't know how I'm saying that. What I'm trying to say is I've sent a scolding email or two. I've made a scolding Facebook remark or two and deleted it, but it's not gone. It's out there somewhere. So just know that if you're in social media. I wanted to talk a little bit about the use of social media as a tool to reach out to other alcoholics. I wanted to mention a digital age traditions checklist that one of our DCMs made, and I see Tamara's in the room. Do we still have this, Tamara? Do you know? You guys would know if it was on the... I don't know if it's not on our webpage, I guess. No, but it's a really good little checklist. So there's some things you can do your own research on. But just be aware, if you're on Facebook, like some people have said, that you're not really anonymous. If you say, you know, I have 4 years today, or I'm happy, joyous, and free, or any of those catchphrases, saw you at a meeting, I mean, you're breaking anonymity, and you shouldn't do that. The other thing is I know that Al-Anon has a Facebook presence. They also have a Twitter presence, and I joined both their page and joined Twitter just to follow Al-Anon as someone involved in service, and your delegate for this area right now is very interesting to me, and they seem to be doing pretty well with that. On the General Service Conference agenda this year, there was an item to have AA to have a Facebook presence. And I can tell you that one of the delegates, I heard a fellow delegate say at some point, just in private conversation, not from the floor, we can't do that and follow traditions. And I see a lot of heads bobbing, but not mine. I was like, I don't get that. And I'll tell you why. There's, in my opinion, there's 80 million people on Facebook. 80 million. The only website that's visited more frequently than Facebook on a daily basis is Google. Facebook is only second to Google. I've done a lot of research on Bill Wilson, and I wore Tom out last night. I apologize for that on some of it. But Bill was an amazing man, and I got to keep an eye on the clock, or I'll get on rambleitis here. But the traditions were born from mistake. You know, Bill learned, though, and that's why we have tradition. And there was an opportunity for him to be Man of the Year for Time Magazine. I'm telling you right now, I'd jump on that in a heartbeat. And Bill was no. And he learned, right? So, but he was also a man that used the technology of the time to its fullest extent. Back then, the only place to advertise, really, one of the places was the phone book. There's not a tool out there with more advertisements than I can think of than the phone book. But I don't think we see the internet that way. When we, you know, go to our Facebook wall or homepage and we see, you know, the little advertisements on the side, we immediately, when we think about AA, we think about affiliation. And I don't. I know the tradition talks about actual or implied. And but I think, I believe, with a little qualifier, that we're not, just because we're on Facebook, if AA chooses to have a Facebook presence, does not mean we're affiliated to Amazon, Facebook, it doesn't mean that. And I can give some base examples. Are we affiliated with the Marriott Courtyard, being in this hotel this weekend? They have a Starbucks in the hotel. I mean, we probably affiliated with Starbucks for that reason. When I was at conference, I noticed there was an awful lot of Coca-Cola products served during the week. And I thought, we're not enough Pepsi products here. Are we affiliated with? I mean, it gets to be that ridiculous. Like, if you go on the web and you go to Amazon just as your own person, it's going to track you. Your service provider is going to track you. There is not a thing you can do about it. Trust me. You can have all the blocks and filters you want. At some level, you're going to be tracked. There's no way that AA cannot have that to some extent. You go to AA's, AA.org, AAGeorgia.org, trust me, your provider knows that you're there. It's the way the internet works. Those websites, I don't care where you go, they say, I'll let you see me if you let me see you. And there's no other way about it. That's just the way it works. So to me, I think that for us not to utilize the tools that I guarantee you Bill Wilson would have used. I guarantee you he would have embraced it. I did a fifth step with a sponsee of mine who's traveling Southeast Asia on Skype months ago. Bill would have been thrilled about stuff like that. He would have been, online meetings? Are you kidding me? That's awesome. Let's have more.
I mean, I guarantee you, there's no way. When the fourth edition first came out, in the foreword to the fourth edition, people were very upset about the reference that a face-to-face meeting is the same as an online meeting, and we changed that. And now we look at online meetings, and it's in the directory, and we got an intergroup, and we're rocking and rolling. What I'm trying to say is AA and general service as a rule is so far behind the fellowship and the times, and I can guarantee you Bill Wilson would have found every reason to try and embrace technology to its fullest so we can get the message out to the still suffering alcoholic. And things like a Facebook presence, a presence on the internet in some form or fashion, understanding we're smart enough to know that we're not affiliated with the Marriott because we're hosting a convention in this hotel tonight, this weekend. We're smart enough to know that on the internet, too. There is no way that we would do those kinds of things. We don't affiliate with people that way. But to not embrace technology as a tool for 12-step work is crazy to me. End of tangent on social media.
Thank you, Tom.
Bill's going to do the recordings.
Right. As soon as Bill addresses briefly about the speakers, we're going to have about 8 minutes for questions, and then we're going to close it up. Okay?
Thank you, Helen. The reason... I'm going to read something real quick. This is from Box 459, November 2008, okay? And it says, it's in an article, Concerns Regarding A Talks Online. And it says, at international conventions, which I think is the grand poobah of all of it, okay, hosted by the trustees of the General Service Board, which is held every 5 years. Release forms are signed by every member, every AA member, Al-Anon and Alateen, and professional speaking at the convention, which gives the right for distribution to the taper. A question to tapers of conventions, conferences, and roundups, and district gatherings and group meetings is how many speakers to sign a tape release form. So what they're doing at the conventions is getting the speakers to release the right to distribute their talks. Now, that doesn't answer anything, as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't say anything about first names or last names or anything like that. And it says here, and I'm sorry that I didn't do this, but it says at the bottom, it says, for further information, see the AA guidelines on conference, conventions, and roundups. But I think it gets back, for this is me personally, what it gets back to is exactly what Tom said. Read the black part of the words. You know, if you're going to... I don't like, there's nothing I'd rather see than Speaker Bill Freeze at the Atlanta Roundup, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I forget my, you know, that's my self-centeredness. But I forget that somebody would say, Mike, is that your dad? Is your dad a drunk? I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I think it's a personal thing, you know.